There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, with that, let's go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on the Wednesday edition of the show. Easy to get in touch, 343-0106. 343-0106 gets you through on a text or a phone call. And if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can even leave us one of those talkback messages using the microphone icon on the front page of the app there. All right, so you got that in order. And as we move forward today, yes, we have lots of things to cover on today's show. National stories, local stories, and also stay tuned at 1 o'clock, too. I mentioned it to Jeff. He's back on promoting the Great Alabama 650. It's been 4 or 5 years of this with Greg Wingo. Great Alabama 650, canoe, kayak. It's a paddling race, so there are people on stand-up paddleboards doing it, kayaks and canoes, solo and team effort. It is the longest canoe race in the United States, and it's right here in the state of Alabama. And the finish line, you'll see what I did here in a second. The finish line is right here in South Alabama every year at Fort Morgan, and pretty close to where we find my friend Cameron Smith, read his work in the Tennessean, listen to the music of Wasted Bacon, check out his film, The Ballad of Davy Crockett, and also check him out on the radio with me. Hey, Cameron.
Hey, buddy, it's a beautiful day down here in Gulf Shores, and I'll tell you what, my sons, who I refer to as the Beast, I got him a 6-foot cast net, and now I've created a perpetual fishing machine. They're like, Dad, we can get our own bait now. Do you realize how big this is?
This is awesome. That realization when you could go out, and I remember this as a boy, you had your cast net, your bucket, and you had your rod, and you could just catch bait and fish, and then put the fish you caught in the bucket. It was a proud moment. I'm good. I'm happy for the Beast, man. That's awesome.
Mind-blowing.
You said, by the way, I know we're supposed to talk, you know, news of the day and all that stuff, but y'all hold on a second. You said y'all got in some flounder the other day?
Yeah, they, you know where they dredge on the Lagoon Pass.
Little Lagoon Pass,
Little
yeah.
Lagoon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know what got the flounder moving, but the boys had figured out how to basically make their own flounder rig, and they were rocking and rolling and having a blast, man. It was so much fun right along the seawall. Just great time.
Okay. Add this to the list, and we'll talk here later off the air. If y'all are still around, there'll be canoes and kayaks coming in at the end of the Great Alabama 650 race into Fort Morgan. It's pretty cool. I mean, 650 miles of canoeing through the state of Alabama. Finish line right there where you are.
Well, we're right now getting emotionally prepared for the Shrimp Festival later this week, so we're excited.
Yeah, I got some Shrimp Fest talk later on in the show. All right, before we go any further in that, let's talk about this before we get into the political news of the day. How excited are you about Caden Proctor? Just like 1 to 10, where are you?
He is the patron saint of all big guys.
Yes, he is.
And the idea that he can jump out of a swimming pool just straight up onto the side of the pool. I mean, we're building a mythology about this guy that I'm pretty sure he's going to be like the John Bunyan of my generation. And, I mean, I'm floored. So excited. He scores a touchdown and Angel gets its wings. So excited.
You know, if we do a Mount Rushmore of big guys here, I mean, you know, you're thinking about, you got Mount Cody on there, of course. He may be the whole mountain where we put but Caden Proctor is going to get, I mean, he's going to be on that. He's going to be on that display.
Yeah, I think he has to. And for the very old school, I mean, you'd have somebody like John Hannah.
Yes.
You know, so we're having by degrees and, you know, we'll need another one, but, good grief. I mean, the guy is an athlete, and it is cool to see.
All right. So now that Cameron and I just got our normal talking out of the way that we usually do on the phone. We'll do some radio show stuff. All right. I saw you put something up on X or Twitter here about farmers and money coming to farmers. Hey, the tariffs aren't going to hurt the farmers. Although I think Trump said the tariffs would hurt the farmers some, but that it wasn't going to hurt them that much. But now China didn't buy soybeans, and now we're giving money to the farmers. Something like that. What's your take on this?
These tariff policies are crushing farmers on both ends. The small guys are going to be devastated. And then the idea of a bailout for the industries harmed is picking winners and losers, because guess what? Look at the number of distilleries and breweries that are going out of business. Are we going to do a bailout for them? I mean, when you cause the problem and then do a government bailout to fix it, I don't remember the last time Republicans clapped for this kind of nonsense. And I'm going to call balls and strikes. And this is a major strike, because farmers are getting crushed on input prices from the component pieces that go into their machinery, the steel, aluminum, stuff like that. And then the input prices for their fertilizers going through the roof. And so the costs are going up, and then we are closing international markets. It's not just China not buying soybeans. It is everybody saying, well, you know, we can pay these big tariffs to the U.S. or we can try to go around them. And South America is super happy to say, you know what, we can grow things.
Yeah, Brazil's making some money right now.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not our farmers. And the idea of, well, don't worry, this will get better. Well, no, I can just tell you it won't. And here's why. Because global demand is what the farmers relied on. The trade deficit in agriculture is going up. Agricultural exports are going down. We're still importing a lot. So that trade deficit is upside down. I think it's like $50 billion for fiscal year 2025. And this is the opposite of what Trump said would happen. And I know there's a lot of farmers out there that support Trump and love his policies on immigration and you know, reining in government. This is one area where he has failed to rein in government, and he's killing our farmers.
I will offer that the input costs here have been even before Trump was back in office, a bit of a big problem. I mean, fertilizer prices are, you know, not even just tracking inflation. It's been way beyond that. And then you could look at diesel prices and all that going in. But yeah, people started texting me a while ago here on the show, two guys that farm around here were talking about the beans. Most people right around me are cotton and peanuts, which aren't affected as much. But they said, man, you should see what's happening in the bean market. Soybeans are, the prices are plummeting.
Yes. China, I want to say, I pulled up these numbers yesterday, and the soybeans to China from January to August versus fiscal year 2024, 78% drop. So, you know, think about that. 78% of that demand, boom, gone. And there's no replacement for that, right? There's no other China. It's not like you can just kind of go around the world, pick up the phone and say, hey, who wants to buy this? And because it's a commodity crop, I mean, you're really, really subject to these massive demands around the world. And when China just says no, we're up a creek without a paddle, man.
Do you think, though, I mean, can I make the argument that you might be bailing out on the negotiation before it's finished, right? The staring game, you're breaking glance, you're breaking the gaze first. That if you just wait a little bit longer, that maybe China will capitulate. I don't know. I don't know what it cost for China to get soybeans out of Brazil versus here. I'd like to see that, you know, and yeah. Are they efficient? You know, I mean, American farmers are the most efficient.
Well, that's part of the problem, is once they buy, that lessens the demand necessarily. We already know in South America, China has picked up purchasing there. So even if China said today, hey, this year, okay, we'll reallocate some more of our purchasing to the U.S., okay, it may not be a 78, 80%, but if it's a 50% drop in demand, it's still massive for farmers, and they're going year to year, right? And I'm not, look, every farm I've ever worked on, every farmer I've ever known does not like the idea of government handouts. They don't like the idea of, I can't make it on my own, so the government's going to write me a check. And I hear your listeners who will say, well, what about the farm bill? What about insurance subsidies?
Yeah, well, we've done
like
this
that.
Since World War II. There's been, I mean, listen, you know the family I come from. You sat there on the farm where my family worked, you know?
Yeah.
This has been part of it since World War II. I mean, I remember my grandfather not, you know, he had that kind of idea of like, hey, we're self-supporting, but he's like, man, I can't make it without this.
Yeah, and I mean, the market has changed, and you know, I've talked about the Farm Bill and said, hey, we should not do this. This is a different animal entirely. It's a government-caused problem for that is now requiring a government bailout. And, oh, I don't know if you know this, Sean, but the federal government shut down. Mm-hmm. So getting that aid to farmers right now is kind of a problem. So even if it were a good idea, it's not happening in a timely fashion. And you're going to see a lot of farms just cratering. And I get it. I've argued this six ways from Sunday that even insurance subsidies shouldn't exist in a pure free market world. But again, when government causes the problem, the tariffs are the things that have caused the problem here and added the burden. There is nothing else to point to here and say, well, X, Y, Z are these market forces. It is the trade war that Trump started is causing this. And if you don't like that, you got to get him to change his mind.
Okay. While we're talking about the shutdown, too, another inflection point, I think, looking at this headline, Mike Johnson rejects push for military pay fix as the shutdown fight intensifies. This is one, you know, pretty close to the heart for a lot of us here. When the shutdown first happened, I had parents texting in saying, hey, what happens with my son and daughter's paycheck? If they don't do that, I don't know why Mike Johnson would. It seems like a win. He would do just a workaround on this.
Well, I mean, Sean, the easiest answer here is there's a Department of Defense appropriations bill. Like, we can keep some of the government open. The whole point is that we should have multiple appropriations bills. If you want to do a single appropriations bill to make sure our service members get paid, be my guest. Go ahead. Open that part of government back up. We're supposed to break these things up. We're not supposed to do a continuing resolution all the time. And I think the bottom line for Mike Johnson, I don't know what is in the Epstein files, but the fact that they are going to such lengths to keep the House in a district work period so that when that 218th signature comes on that discharge petition, they're going to have to take a vote on those Epstein files. I just don't get it. I mean, this to me is just the most bizarre thing that's ever happened to watch this level of effort to stop something from being disclosed.
I'm with you. You and I have talked about this on. I don't get it. I don't think it implicates Trump, but who is being protected and why? Maybe I just don't have the neural capability here to understand it, but I don't understand it.
Well, my point is, so what? So what if it implicates Trump?
Well, I don't think it does. That's what I'm saying. I don't even think it does. So I don't know what.
Well, it's got to do something because the effort to not have full transparency is breathtaking. And this can go away fast. And man, if Trump is implicated, which I'm not suggesting he is in any way, if Trump is implicated here and Republicans were like, absolutely not, we don't want Americans to know whatever bad things, that's just outright corruption. Let's call it what it is. So my point is, if it's not that, then there is no other reason I could even imagine. Oh, well, other powerful people will be implicated. Good.
Good. Yeah, I'm with you.
That's how that's supposed to work.
If so, you like, did wrong, then you're punished for it.
And I hope this discharge petition happens. I hope it passes the House. I hope the Senate votes on it and this becomes law and then it's boring. Like, I hope that that's indeed the case. But man, that's a lot of effort to prevent boring.
Hey, I want to make sure we play both sides of this, that if the information comes out and it's boring, right, everything comes out, there will be a group, because I'm looking for truth, right? This is not my hobby, but I want people that did this stuff to suffer and pay the price for it with justice. Do you think there'll be a group that says, you know, if it comes out and it's boring, they'll say, well, we're not getting it all now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's never going to be enough.
Of course we're going to have that. But at that point, if they don't follow the law, now it's a crime, right? You know, now if you don't disclose that, you got some big issues. And that, to me, does create a little bit more of a stick to make sure that the disclosure is in truth, a full disclosure. And I just think the silliness here is, well, we want to protect the victims. Fine, you can protect the victims. There's nobody in any of this has said that you can't protect the victims. The gray area that people are uncomfortable with is, what if somebody is named in these? What if somebody is engaging in bad, non-criminal, and so they're just kind of caught up in it? Well, okay, fine. I mean, you run with dogs, sometimes you get fleas, and that's That may be what we're talking about here, but that doesn't make you a victim. It just means you hung out with creepy people who, some of whom committed crimes.
There you go. People want to continue the conversation with you or talk about wasted bacon or even, by the way, too, I'm not even going to chastise you. I'll let somebody from the text line said, tell Cameron the first rule of Fish Club is you don't talk about where you're catching fish. So if they want to...
Well, the first rule of Fish Club for me is at some point I need to get my boys back because they're just, I don't think they're going to stop. They just, I don't think it's ever going to stop now.
So, okay, so we'll all go down there and catch the flounder so they have nothing to catch. But if they want to talk about this with you online or read more of your work, where do they go?
You can find me at D. Cameron Smith on the X Machine. That's a great place to join the conversation. Go listen to Wasted Bacon and watch The Ballad of Davy Crockett.
Always good stuff. I'll see you soon, literally. We'll see you soon.
Love you, brother.
All right, there goes Cameron Smith. And we'll be right back. Grab your text next at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1225 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday, 343-0106. Let me run through some text here quickly. Erica Thomas from 1819news.com joins us in just a second. All right, to the bottom of the stack, top of my heart, but the chronologically. This from a named texter, I think. Okay. Said, Sean, we love Sheriff Birch. He's a great Republican and thinks like I do. Anyone that has issues with his wife's Halloween decor is a liberal, and we don't care what they think. Love you, too, by the way. Sheriff comes in on this coming Tuesday. Yeah, he'll be second Tuesday of the month. There you go. Michael says Sheriff Birch is 100 times more likely to get reelected because of his Halloween decorations than voted out because of them. And the left-wing local TV news folks can't stand it. And Michael goes on to say, also, the Epstein files are being hidden to cover for Israel and Mossad. Mossad's fingerprints are all over that island. You know, I mean, like, Cameron and I are on the same page. I truly don't give a flip if you're a Republican, a Democrat, if you're the Israelis, if you did this kind of stuff, I don't care. You're release the names. Release the names. Let's see. Texter said, do you think it's weird the cause of the Palisades fire was released today after the Katie Porter interview controversy? I don't know. I think one. Explain to me how they go together. Now, the Katie Porter thing. So Dalton played that for me earlier. And if we have time in hour number two, I listened to it. It didn't shock me at all. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be shocked by. A California Democrat running for, like, what in that was I supposed to be shocked by? She said, well, I don't need the Trump voter. Of course she, and if she's up against a Republican, she doesn't in California. We may not like that, but that's the truth. And the fact that she said, oh, I'm done with the interview because of the follow-on questions. Well, I mean, I disagree with her political view, but what she said, I think in California is accurate. Joey says, I love our sheriff, but I would like to add that after seeing his wife's Halloween decorations, I might love her more. Ella, thank you, Ella. And Ella knows something about this. Said, Sean, I'll send you a link to read about cotton. Cotton, it's doomsday, and no one knows except those who are in the cotton industry. I was with the Arkansas farmer last week who said he's going to lose at least $1.6 million on the cotton crop alone. Things are bad, and as long as there's food in the grocery store shelves, very few will pay attention. You got that right. Ella, that is for sure. Now, I get this, though, text here, and it says, I'm not talking about our grandparents' generation. I'm talking about the generation of farmers nowadays are very wealthy. I do not feel sorry for them. Find me one farmer that you know in today's market that you would not consider very wealthy. So if they lose a little money, I'm not losing any sleep. What if they lose the farm? Yeah, this idea that, and we see, it depends on what farmers you see. And have a lot of the smaller farmers gone out of business? They have. But if you consolidate, which happens, right? Farmer goes out of business and... I'm not talking about where it's sold for a neighborhood. I'm saying another conglomerate buys it up and you got fewer and fewer people out there doing this. It's not good. But more farmers, not less. Oh, yeah, people said again, Paul Bunyan versus John Bunyan. I'll just say Caden Proctor. God, I love Caden Proctor. All right, yeah, coming back, Erica joins us next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Grab a couple of these texts here as we get into our next segment. Texter says, less farms, more subdivisions. Ashley from over in Loosedale says, I can assure you as a farmer's wife, we're not rich. Farming is dire. It's, I think, you know, the idea that all the farmers are rich, that the text earlier said, I don't follow that. You know, I don't think that's true. I do think there are bigger farmers than before. I mean, the days of smaller farms that keep getting eaten up and eaten up and eaten up out there, or somebody has, you know, cash rent deal on their land. They still live on the land, but they're not farming their own ground. But yeah, these times, I mean, no soybean market to China, pretty tough. And input costs, we know, I mean, that's been ramped up, but it's been ramping up. That's not just right now this year under Trump. That has been, I mean, go look at the track of the cost of fertilizer out there and tell me about that. So, all right. And then the this text here, Ultra Runner says, my mom is a legal immigrant and thought Birch's decorations were hilarious. Like many immigrants, she loves this country with all her heart because she has experienced life in other countries. We are all far more blessed than we often realize. Well said. And into that, we'll bring in our friend Erica Thomas from 1819news.com. Howdy, Erica.
Howdy, Sean.
Can you, before we get into the news of the day, can you give me an update on dog school and Ranger, what's going on here?
Yeah, so it's midterm, so they're getting their progress reports this week. Actually, Ranger did not go to school today. He has been driving me absolutely bonkers because I stayed home, so I said, I'll just leave him home. And he thinks that I'm supposed to play with him, and that's like the sole purpose of me being home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not working from home. My job is actually to give him 24/7 attention, love, kisses, and cuddles. And so,
makes sense from a dog's perspective, yeah.
Yeah, he's just, I'm telling you, he's a different kind of dog for sure.
Okay, I hope his midterms come out good and, you know, so he's not in trouble, doesn't have to go to remedial or get a tutor or something like that.
Right. We don't want summer school either, so we're always looking ahead on that.
Good. Good mom. You're doing a good job there. All right. Story of the day, and this one, it's the things that catch on. You know, I guess I would have seen this one coming, but it's now, I guess, starting to even get to a national level. The Halloween decorations at the house for Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. You've got a story about this posted up today.
Yeah, I love how you always, you know, ask me about my most deep dive investigative pieces. This is definitely an example of that. No, I'm kidding. So yesterday when I saw this, I was like, well, that's kind of goofy, you know. The decorations could be seen as inappropriate, but some people think they're funny. And really, like, that was the purpose, according to Paul Birch's wife. You know, this is a tongue-in-cheek thing I always do. I guess she takes whatever, you know, issues that she thinks are national or important and kind of themes her decorations off of that. And I think that's genius. In this case, it was obviously the skeletons, the ice skeletons chasing the skeleton Mexicans, because they're wearing the sombrero and the Mexican garb. So, you know, some people were very offended by this. And if you know Paul Birch, he's not really the type to worry about who's offended. You know, he just kind of is what it is, kind of guy. But his wife said, you know, he had absolutely nothing to do with this. And this story is definitely going national. One of my friends sent me my story that was posted on Free Republic. So I thought that was interesting. People are just really reacting to this so hard. And when I saw the reaction, that's when I said, well, I guess it needs to be a story because, you know, It's public interest. People just think this is a big deal. So we did the story. We got that statement from Paul Birch's wife. And I thought that was interesting. I've never had the sheriff's office send me a statement from the sheriff's wife before.
Yeah, well, I mean, she was, and I know her as well, and yeah, that was her thing, and yeah, she's, you know, that's, and believe me, and I tell you right now who makes the decisions in that house. I'll just say, I'll leave it there.
Yeah, clearly. Well, and I mean, he does have to cut the grass around these decorations, so he probably doesn't even like them, because I know, like, my dad always hated having to cut around stuff, but I mean, it's creative. It is really highlighting an issue that's happening in the nation right now. And, you know, her husband is really on the front lines in Mobile County on this. So I think it's fine. Her parents were legal immigrants. She has a Cuban background. It's kind of like, you know, you can't make fun of somebody that was raised in a trailer park unless you were. Then it's fine. And so that's what I say. Anyways, and it kind of reminds me of that, because if she wants to do this to her yard, I don't know why it's anybody's business, to be honest. I mean, they're not using county money to put up these decorations, you know, but people are saying it's good to see how y'all feel about it. But they made those assumptions before hearing from her, and now her statement is on 1819news.com.
Yeah, y'all can read that story over there. I will say this, too. The politics of this are different. And, you know, if this was like a police chief, for example, where pressure could be put on their boss and a mayor or something like that, right? But in the case of sheriffs in 67 counties, Alabama, they're elected officials. They are the they are the decision maker. So there's not a, you know, if the national media gets on this and they're going to put what pressure are they going to put on whom? I mean, there's this elected, constitutional elected position.
Well, and you know, the voters may make a different decision next time that Paul Birch is up. That's who holds
my unscientific sample.
But right now, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, my unscientific sample right now from the text line so far today is it probably, yeah, it's going to change the voting. It's probably plussed him up by 5 or 6 points. So
very possible. I mean, this is, you know, Mobile County. This is South Alabama. This is the Deep South, the Bible Belt, whatever you want to call it. I don't think this is going to be detrimental to the future of Paul Birch, and I think people need to listen to what his wife had to say.
All right. Speaking of hearing from people trying to get elected, Mobile County Republican Party Executive Committee had a little – was it a debate? I always get these things screwed up. Or it was just a meet and greet. What was this thing?
Would call it a forum.
A forum.
They had each candidate come up and just talk. They didn't talk back and forth. A debate is when you're going at each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the difference between me and this? This wasn't even, like, some of the candidates, their opponents weren't even there. They just had multiple candidates from all kinds of races there to speak for 7 minutes. They took to the podium. They all had 7 minutes. And, you know, just to say who they were, because some of them were not known very well. Some of them were very well known, like Jerry Carl was there. And I think his statement, what he said in the thing, like, took all the attention. Like, if I had to say what stood out to you in this forum, it would be Jerry Carl's comment about D.C. and the National Guard coming into Montgomery or Birmingham. I mean, I thought that was...
Yeah, and was to crazy. Paraphrase there, yeah, what did he say?
He said he pleaded to Barry Moore and Steve Marshall and said, please let Trump know that we will take the National Guard to Montgomery, you know, or Birmingham, wherever it is, just let them know. We'll take them right now. We'll take them tonight. And he said we need to clean up our streets, and I think he has a really good point.
The you know, and it seems like, I don't know if anything's changed since yesterday. I think the last report y'all had over at 1819 News that Mayor there, Reed, is not taking the governor's phone calls, like putting it on do not disturb or something. Is that still going on? Have you heard any change on that?
I mean, the latest today is that the city council came in and they're trying to do it on their own. They're trying to fix the problem on their own. They shut down the entertainment district. You know, Alabama cities have the ability to establish an entertainment district, which is kind of a part of downtown, which a lot of people don't know about this, but you can't just have that. You have to go through a process to make an entertainment district where people can purchase alcohol from one restaurant or a bar and walk to another, you know, within that area. You just have to be within that district.
Yeah, and by the way, for people, yeah, this is what Eric has given us is a little piece, and we've talked about it before on the show, how the state works. A lot of times people are like, I can't believe they did such and such at a county or municipal level. And I go, and they don't have a choice there, that Montgomery gets to make that decision. Same thing here for like LODA here and all that. You have to petition Montgomery to be able to do something in your own city or county. I think it needs to go away. I think it's some bad government here. But I mean, it's like these vestiges of the past. I don't know how it happened, but it's the deal. So I guess they could come in and say, you know, now the city council said there's a suspension of the entertainment district.
Now the state can't shut it down
because they suspended it or something. I mean, I don't know what the kind of inside track on that is. If I suspend it as a city, then you can't shut it down as a state because it'd have to go through the legislature. Is that what you're taking from it?
Yeah, I mean, there are other entertainment districts within Montgomery County. That's not the only one. But the one where this happened, you know, they're just taking it right now and they're saying, we have to get this situation under control. We cannot do that. I mean, 2 people are dead, 14 injured. So the other entertainment districts will still be in effect.
I understand kind of what they're doing, but at the same time, if we just use some critical thinking, how many shooters were there? 2, we think, or more?
I don't know the number of shooters because, you know, we haven't.
Okay, well, let's say there's 2 right now.
I think there was multiple.
Okay, let's say there's 10, okay? And I would imagine there's probably 4,000 or 5,000 people right there at the event. So none of the bars shot anybody, none of the alcoholic beverages shot anybody, and 99% of the people there didn't shoot anybody, you know, but it gets shut down.
Right.
I think it would be shut down on its own because I don't think anybody's going to go down there after that. But
well, exactly. Right now, public perception is that this is dangerous to go to. And it's during the week right now. I don't know how long this shutdown thing's going to last. People can still go to the bars. It's not like they're shutting down the businesses. They just can't do the entertainment district thing where you know, the city.
Walk from
like
bar to bar with
night,
a drink. Yeah, you can't get a Go Cup. But the Go Cup didn't shoot anybody. That's kind of like, I get what they're doing, but then like the super logical portion of me goes, yeah, but the Go Cup didn't cause the shooting. Well, it wasn't like, hey, we got Go Cups, now we're going to shoot people.
And people can still get, as they say, toe up from the flow up when they go downtown Montgomery. It's not like it's stopping any of that. I think this is just their way to say, hey, we're doing something. We don't need, you know, the National Guard, or we don't need the state to come in, which obviously they do. But you know, they're going to try to do whatever they can optically to make it look like they're making a move on this. They have to. I mean, it would be irresponsible not to make it look like they're doing something all of a sudden, finally. So we'll see what happens.
People can read more, of course, on 1819news.com about that, or if they want to reach out to you directly, how do they do it?
You can find me on X at Erica T News or email me erica.thomas@1819news.com. And it's E-R-I-C-A, Erica like America.
Very good. Good one. I like that. All right. All right. Erica like America. We'll talk next week.
God bless.
All right. There she goes. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Well, this Wednesday, this segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my man, Trey. He's been doing it for years, y'all, getting junk gone in Mobile and Baldwin County. And you can make that junk disappear at your place by setting up an appointment. And an appointment meaning a specific time on a specific day. Isn't it refreshing? It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's the phone number. You call them, or they have a website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And when you go on there, They'll find the day that works for you, the time that works for you, set the appointment. Then it could be at a storage unit, could be at your office, could be at your house you're getting ready to sell, house you just bought, and you just point at the junk you want gone. And it could be things inside the house, and like Trey always reminds me, could be big things outside the house, giant trampoline, swing set, storage building. Your Uncle Merle. What? No, they can't move Uncle Merle. But, I mean, they can get everything else, and you just point the stuff you want gone. They quote your price right there on the spot. You say yes, they get to work and get it done. Used them personally, used them with this radio station, so many of us have. But go to the Google reviews out there and see how many of your friends and neighbors have used them and liked it enough that they went online to say how much they liked it. Right? The internet's full of people complaining. It just takes a special service for somebody to go on and say, that was really great. I appreciate it. That's what Trey and the crew do with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So you need junk gone wherever, at your house, work, storage, wherever it's in the way. Get the junk gone with 1-800-GOT-JUNK and make that appointment today. All right, to the text line here. First up, unnamed texter, I think. Yeah, unnamed texter. Sheriff Birch is our own version of Tom Holman. He protects us all and doesn't take any S from anyone. Tell Fox 10 to leave him the hell alone. Chris in Orange Beach said the sheriff's yard is hysterically appropriate. Another unnamed texture. I think no, it's not. It's Biggin. Hey, man. Biggin said, within a reasonable degree, you have no right against being offended in the United States. Cody says, as a conservative, I find the decorations to be in poor taste. We are dehumanizing these people. I've seen comments like running like cockroaches during raids makes us no better than the folks celebrating Charlie Kirk's death. Billy D says, not that you need my confirmation, but I totally agree with you on Paul Birch's situation on re-election after all the news regarding the Halloween decorations. As far as the Democrat candidate for governor saying that she does not care about Trump votes, what Democrat have you ever heard say they need Trump votes to be elected? I cannot see that happening anytime soon. Yeah, I hope this next hour we'll have time to get to that story. Dalton showed it to me this morning, and he said this is what a lot of people are talking about. You know, it's going on online. So I watched it. Now, this doesn't mean I agree with her politics, but I think what she said was accurate, right? I mean, she's like, maybe we'll play that clip, but she says, you know, I don't, because the reporter's saying like, you know, you're reaching out to Trump voters, and she's a Democrat running in California. She said, I don't need them. I mean, that, whether you like to hear that or not, that's, I think that's accurate. And she says, you know, if I'm in a general election, you know, it's me versus a Republican, I don't need those votes. I mean, that's California, y'all. I don't know why that would be shocking. Let's see. Derek says everyone loses lost revenue that may never come back. Now, what is that? That one from the Montgomery situation? Yeah, I don't. I mean, my critical thinking on. I think. The entertainment district there in downtown Montgomery would self-correct because people aren't going to go down there, which stinks for the people that risk capital to open bars and restaurants and do things that work their fingers to the bone to run these places. And then some dirtbags decide they're going to go. And I keep, you know, people always say, well, it's like shootout at the OK Corral. You know, once again, I'll go back to a thing I've said for a decade here. Shootout at OK Corral, three people died. I think three wounded. It made American lore and history. Stuff happens on a weekly basis here. So a bunch of dirtbags are going to shoot it out amongst another group of people that have nothing to do with it. And the people that have invested in businesses and employment and entertainment, they lose. They lose. But it's, you know, it's not the 99% of the people that were there. It was not the open containers. It was not the bars. It was not the sandwich, you know, nachos somebody had that did the shooting. It was some dirt bags. If you take away the places, they'll go somewhere else. You know that. It's not like they go, oh, the only reason they're going to do it, the next time there's anything where there's a lot of people around, they're going to go after that. Right. And I'll tease this. Something I stumbled upon here in the last 15 minutes. I think this is interesting. I'm going to put it up on Twitter, I think. I think this will get some attention here. Maybe even beyond us here in our fair hamlet of the uber hamlet of Southwest Alabama. So I was looking at something I shouldn't have been looking at. Something I shouldn't have been looking at work. I'm giving you all a second to picture what that was. But I did because I had to share it with a buddy because I've got a trip coming up. Yeah, an idea what I was looking. So I was looking at a U.S. Forest Service website. Yeah, I know. Y'all thought it was going to be more exciting. So I'm looking at a particular, and you'll probably see where I'm going if I put this up on the Twitter feed. So I've got a trip coming up. It's going to be in Utah. And we're going out there hunting, but we're looking at some areas for some backcountry camping. And I opened up the USDA Forest Service website for this specific national forest. And coming up next hour, I'm going to read you what it says at the top here. I've never seen anything like this. You'll probably cheer. Trump fans will cheer. But I've never seen something like this in my life on a government website. More on that coming up. Greg Wingo from the Great Alabama 650 joins us after the news.